You can turn on the news. You can look around and you can be pretty discouraged. It seems doom and gloom, problems everywhere you turn. And then you are reminded that every Sunday we go to church where we hear a message that is not of this world. It is one that is countercultural. But what can happen to us is that you can be in a habit, and it's a great habit, where you go Sunday after Sunday, and sometimes you can take for granted why we do what we do. That's one of the great things about when you have visitors, guests, and new members is they keep you fresh, because you got to remember why we do what we do. And the great thing about each of the families that received, they came here by conviction. And that's wonderful to hear. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing to be reminded and to stop and pause sometimes of why we have the order of worship we do and why we do the things that we do. And I thought it would be appropriate today, in light of what we have seen so far and what is still to come, that I pause and remind myself and to remind you that God is still building His church. God is still saving His people. God says the gates of hell will not prevail. It's an important truth for us, because there are times when it's been discouraging. And you look around and you can feel like the world is getting the upper hand. And then we are reminded to trust God. Sunday after Sunday, we come back and hear this message. Well, this text that I've chosen today is on the heels of what you might call some pretty significant events. The first one being the ascension of Jesus Christ 40 days after His resurrection. Lots were cast as a replacement was chosen for Judas, with Matthias being the chosen new disciple to carry on the ministry as one who's been with Christ and seen Christ. We know then comes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and then Peter's sermon at Pentecost with about 3,000 coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we're going to pick up today, on the heels of Peter's sermon in Acts 2, where we will zero in on what these new believers did in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached to them. This passage is going to teach us five things, and by God's amazing grace, you see all five of these today here at Covenant Church. But we're going to see that the people of God were devoted to baptism, to the Word of God, to the fellowship of the saints, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayers. And we will see what we are to learn is this: God is building His church. God is building His church through baptism. I won't spend as long on this because I've already given so many remarks, but verse 37 said they were cut to the heart after Peter's sermon. There's no greater words for a pastor to hear when you preach a sermon, as the people say, God really used that. He convicted me. He encouraged me, whatever way the Holy Spirit chooses. And these people were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, brothers, what are we to do? You have preached a Christ crucified, and we are sinners, and God has opened our eyes to see that. What are we to do? Man, what a posture. They were so convinced that they're crying out, and the response of Peter is, repent to be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, verse 38 tells us, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because I've read this already, listen to who the promise is for you and your children. For all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. God is calling people to Himself. And through the message of what's preached, we respond in obedience through baptism. We can stop right there, just with the simple act of Corey being baptized, and say, God is building His church. God has taken care of the next generation. He is keeping His word. Verse 40 says, and with many other words He bore witness and said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized, were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now the question we ask is how does God build His church through baptism? As I've already mentioned, because Christ says, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. It's the Great Commission. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:18-20. So like as a stammering pastor who may not have said everything perfectly or right, here's the problem though. It isn't about me. I just am standing in the stead of Christ because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. He says, you pour out the waters faithfully upon the people because my authority is attached to it on heaven and earth. So we do this because Christ instituted it, and there's power in that ordinary water. It's because of the promise and the person who is attached to what we do. That's how Christ builds his church. Did you catch what he says here? We make disciples by baptizing. God's covenant people, his children, are gathered with the people of God. We don't cast them out and treat them different. They are brought in. We use the word sacrament a lot. It's a sacred act of the New Testament. And that's what baptism is. It's a sacred act. You notice, and you know, Brittany wouldn't let this happen anyways, but everybody looked nice today. They always look nice, but I'm saying they didn't come in PJs and syrup in their hair. Because you know what? They knew this is something special. You guys drove in for many miles and many places. Something special, and that's right. It's a sacred act ordained by Christ with the washing of waters in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Christ said, all authority has been given to me. Go and do this. So Christ is building his church by marking off his people of who they are. Let us remember our baptism. Let's look back the next time you're tempted to sin and say, but those waters, that old man and an old woman's been drowned in those waters. The Holy Spirit is within me. The waters have taken my sin and washed me whiter than snow. All of these things are there for us that Christ reminds us that he's building his church through baptism. That's why we really try to be careful in how we do baptism, because we see God teach us in his word. It's not me and my commitment to him. It's God and his commitment to us and what he's doing. It's what he promises to us in the word. You see, Corey or any of us who's been baptized, the strength of her faith isn't in the strength of herself. It's in the strength of the Savior. And it's promised in the waters of his baptism. And so when we are weak and weary and stray and go through things, and Satan says, how could you? I thought you were farther along in your walk. You say, yeah, but I've been buried in baptism. I've been washed in the waters. And you believe the promise of what he's done because Christ said, all authority has been given to me. Satan doesn't get the last word. Your flesh doesn't get the last word. The world doesn't get the last word. It's a sign. It points to what I've done. It signifies. It's a seal. It's a notary of authenticity. This is my child. Hands off. Who are you to say it? Because I have all authority. I give and take up life. That's the Savior in whom we trust. Never forget today, even as ordinary as this was, the baptism is a reminder that God is building his church. And what a privilege that is. Jesus Christ says, let the little children come to me. That's for adults too. If you are an unsaved person, don't know, come to Christ and be baptized. Come and repent of our sins. But we see something else here. That's the heels of the sermon is be baptized. But look here at verse 42 is where we'll spend most of our time here. We see that God is building his church through the word. He's going to teach us what healthy church life, healthy membership, as we've seen today, people taking vows that we love the Lord and we want to have someone to shepherd us. Here's what it looks like. This tells us what covenant church is to emphasize. Look here, you don't come for the aesthetics here. We've got a torn down building. We're a work in progress. We don't come here because we have everything that's slick and jazzy. You come here because Christ is building his church through the word of God. And that's what we want to emphasize here. Week after week, teaching and preaching the word of God. And this is what the word teaches us today, is that the people of God are to be devoted then, now, tomorrow, until Christ return, to the word of God. What we see first is this little sentence here. They continually devoted themselves to the word. Devoted themselves to the word, to the apostles' teaching as it's written here. It means they were continuing steadfastly. They were persevering. There was no letting up. These people have come to know Christ. The waters have been poured out. And they said, give me the word some more. See, they weren't just living on Peter's sermon. They said, I want to know the whole counsel of God. I want to know all of the apostles' teaching. Now, again, we got to remember the context. Think about this. 3,000 new believers are just added. They're overjoyed at their salvation. God had come to them. The promise of Christ is true. And they'd received, and what happened? They said, man, we are so hungry for the word of God. I pray that the people at this church, and they've been merciful and long-suffering with me as I've grown, or if you have another church, that one reason is they preach the word, that Christ is heralded. From Genesis to Revelation, the word of God is held up before you. He said they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted. They recognized their need. It was a non-negotiable. So they were continually devoted to all of God's word. Peter modeled this for him himself as that sermon. I'd encourage you to go back and read it today. But Peter, just in that sermon, referenced Joel 2, 28 through 32, Psalm 16, 8 through 11, Psalm 110, 1. Today we have the finished work of the Old Testament and the New. So we see the word was read, the word was preached, and we'll see here that the word was prayed. Again, that's why the habit as we have here is to preach Old and New Testament books. But there was something else that they were devoted to. They were continually devoted to hearing Christ crucified. It's not just that we want to preach, but we want to preach Christ crucified for sinners. You hang around here very long, you know what you're going to find out here about Covenant Church? Sinners. But they're sinners who are trusting in a Savior. Listen to Acts 2, 22 and 23. It says, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Flip over to verse 30 and 33. Being therefore a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. And then verse 36, let the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. If this is my last sermon, I hope the thing they'll say about me is, he gave us Christ. That's what we're teaching in Sunday school. Justification is that sinners need to hear how they can be made right before a holy God. And it's through the preaching of Christ crucified, the atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And for the people there that day, that was sweet to their ears because their sinfulness had been exposed, that their sins had called Christ to have to go to the cross, that he died for their sins. They were laid low and stripped of self-righteousness. We've been talking in the young adult class about how Luther tried to make himself right before God by righteousness. He would beat himself. He would fast. He would do all these things. He said, love God, I hate God. Because he tried to make himself right. But he said, when I realized that the righteousness of God is given to me by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone, it was as sweet to me as it was hard before. And what an amazing work we see here. As we are laid low before the law of God is marked, rightly laid out for us, we confess that and we receive the pardon. 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul tells us that he decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the message of the church. This is the message of the baptism. This will be the message of the Lord's Supper. And by God's grace, it'll be the message from the pulpit today and every day. The objective, finished work of Jesus Christ and him crucified is to ring sweetly in our ears. What Reformed theology, Covenant Church, Presbyterians believe is in the righteousness of Christ, the imputed righteousness of Christ, the great exchange that Christ took our sins, but doesn't just take our sins, he gives us his righteousness, and that we stand before a holy God just as if we have never sinned and just as if we have always obeyed. That is the work of Christ on our behalf. Christ and Christ crucified. Our account is not only just taken away the debt and bankruptcy for our sin before a holy God, but he credits Christ's work and all the riches and everything credited to us, and we stand before God. Oh, let's always be devoted to hear all of God's word preached and taught. When are we to do that? Every time we gather, every Lord's Day, every Resurrection Sunday after Sunday. We teach it in Sunday school, our women's study, our men's fellowship, anytime we get a chance. Our Christian education. And where do we do it? We do it right here. But let's be honest, it's a battle to believe that what I'm giving you now, I know that the hour is getting long, to believe that this is what the world needs most, is the Word of God. But God says we are to be devoted to the Word because we get Christ in the Word and we're enabled to continue with Christ. So I want you to be reminded as you hear the gospel preached today and you see it, you taste it, is that God is building his church through his Word. Quickly look here at verse 42 again, that God is building his church through biblical fellowship. This is one of the privileges of being a part of a church and a church family. The word here for fellowship is koinonia. Makes its first appearance in the book of Acts. Has multiple definitions. It can mean community, relationships, partnership, communion, sharing material possessions. But here, Luke is emphasizing an intimate bond, a partnership that has united the people. And what unites us? Look around, man. We are all different. We all have a different background. We all have sin in our past. We all have things that we regret. We all have hurts. We all deal with sickness, loss, death. You know what unites them then and is to unite us now? Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, mere fellowship isn't the aim. It's not just to have this wonderful looking meal we're about to have. That's an added bonus. But true koinonia is an intimate fellowship that is united around the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's koinonia relationship that requires of giving of yourself, though, your time, your resources to those in whom you have in common, the household of God. The fellowshipping that is described in this passage, as you look here, it's a twofold fellowshipping and sharing. It's with one another around Christ and the Word of God, as we've talked about the spiritual substance of our conversations. But then there's that second fellowship that's required. It's the giving of our material possessions. Again, I'm not saying we give everything away. I'm not talking about that. But it's when we see the household of God in need. One of the blessings of this small church is we punch above our weight class. People are quick to serve and to give of their times and talents and money. And God has blessed us. I'm humbled to know that to be a full-time pastor here when other churches our size, they can't do that. That's because of God's grace. The people of God see the importance, and I never want to presume upon that. But we look here at Acts 2, 45 through 47, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those being saved. We just see a generosity spark up through the person and work of Christ. The key is, and this is a challenge for each of us in our, especially in our Appalachian backgrounds that we have, is you got to be a part of people's lives. You got to let them in. The house doesn't always have to be picked up. You know what I'm saying? You can let somebody in. You don't have to tidy it up and put it all together before we allow people to see us as we really are. Now I'm preaching to myself, but I know that's true. Our conversations and actions are to be centered around Christ and loving one. But we so often are independent and rugged in ourselves to do it, that we're not comfortable with this. And I don't want to let people in, that we think we are needy and we have weaknesses. We think self-sufficiency is a badge of honor. And so sometimes even to preach membership and to take vows, people are like, man, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Why are you doing that? Why are you putting yourself under the authority of somebody else? We don't want to put someone out or to think, have them think less of us. Brothers and sisters, let us never stop thinking that we have a need for the people. A couple people reached out last week and said, well, how you feeling? And you need anything? And typically your response is, no, we're doing good, thanks. Just still, I said, you know what, man, I feel like trash. So I said, man, just pray this thing will relent because it is not letting up. We were sick. And you know what? I sent that out. People said they're praying. And about next time I woke up from my little doze nap, it was gone. Sometimes you just got to humble yourself and quit acting like, yeah, no, we're all right. We're surviving. They're not giving out a medal. All right? It's okay. And I have to be reminded, each of us. So I would encourage us today, fellowship time, start small, reach out, text, call, whatever it may be, simply walking across the church building to be with someone. Don't be in a hurry, get involved. Build the fellowship that happens here to carry over as we see through the Monday through Saturday activities. Never forget that God is building his church through the fellowship and the loving connection of his body. And what's even more mind-boggling is by his grace, he's made us part of that. And the next privilege we'll see is that God's building his church through the Lord's Supper. The breaking of bread. Now, there's many think, that does this mean the Lord's Supper, eating a meal together? I think as you see later in that text, they talk about eating meals together. That it's right to take this as the Lord's Supper. They're devoted to sitting under the word and they're devoted to baptism. And being with one another, now you have the Lord's Supper. Again, think about, we've seen the first part of Acts 2, 37 today, and you're about to get this part. And the fellowship. Just in case the pastor's not your flavor, the sermon doesn't seem to be getting you. I have great peace because I will stand before you here in a minute and say, this is Christ's body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. I died for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Take and drink. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. That once again, the focus at Covenant Church is to say, run them to Christ. Take them to the Savior. And to be reminded that God builds us even through the ordinary bread and the cup. The gospel is heralded to us. You will smell it. You will taste it. You will touch it. And one day, what we believe by faith, you will actually see what you will see and touch and be with our Savior. But it is a reminder to us that it's not an empty ritual, but Christ is spiritually present with us. We use the terms here, means of grace. It's the way in which God gives us his grace. And this is another beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us. And he builds his church through this, these what we call ordinary means. That these things that the world would laugh at and never going to make the news, God said, yeah, but I'm bringing people into the kingdom of heaven. I'm building my church. And we grow in our dependence upon God. Maybe you struggle with guilt as a Christian. Maybe there's things in your past. Maybe you're harboring unforgiveness. You need to hear once again, this is my body broken for you. I died for that sin. This is my blood shed for you. Maybe there's a besetting sin you wrestle with. Come and hear God's pardoning word once again. It's a beautiful picture, is it? Fellowship, we gather, we'll eat a meal, but we'll come to this table where he says, come, dine with me. A foretaste of what we'll do in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, what a beautiful picture of Christ's church. What we do publicly is to shape what we do privately in our lives. We continue in Christ by taking his body and blood into our stomachs, hearts, and minds. And never forget, folks, God's building his church through the Lord's Supper. And lastly, he's building his church through prayer. I hope you've seen here, and this is not for me to, it's kind of weird talking about up here like we're showing off. That's not what I mean. I hope you've seen just the amount of prayer we've tried to saturate within our service today. It's not perfunctory. It's not show off. It's because I know, the elders, the people, the body here know, if Christ doesn't move, that the Word and his Spirit doesn't work, we're in trouble. We're dependent upon him. I can't save anyone. I can't change myself or anyone else for that matter. But through the Word and the Spirit, he works. And through the prayers of God's people, he has chosen to bless in that way. So we want to saturate what we do in prayer because we are desperate and needy. We've cried out. I shared the testimony. I didn't know that Matt and Elizabeth were coming and Cole and Brittany and the children and others that are here. I didn't know you guys were coming. But when we prayed, God drew you from Sacramento to Cross Lanes to every part in between. God works in mysterious ways, but you know what? The key word is he works. But he wants us to pray. He wants us to call out to him that we would carry ourselves there. Brothers and sisters, I just wanted to give you a foretaste. And at Covenant Church, I want to remind you today, we've had the privilege and to stand on the front row where Christ says, I have given all authority to do these things. And he says, and I keep my word. I keep my word. We don't run people to Covenant Church. We run people to Christ. And I want us to always remember that. So if someone was to ask me, and I hope you today, why do we do what we do? Because Christ has tasked us to do these things. Christ has promised to bless these things. And that in them, we are enabled to continue with Christ. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you face or where you go, find you a church home. Sit under God's word where the Christ and Christ crucified is preached so that you never forget that God is building his church and God is saving his people and he will take you home. We can trust in our Savior now and forevermore. Let's pray.